One of the very most prominent things that worship does when we worship is it restores your identity. And the people whose identity had been restored because of this altar had been repaired, they began crying out, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." And see, what happened is in the midst of rebuilding worship, their identity was restored. And when you and I begin to worship God, it's like, this is who I am. We know who we are again.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. The Bible has a lot to say about the importance of worship. It's not just something we do for a few minutes before the pastor's message. It can be a time when massive warfare takes place in the spiritual world. Battles can be won, victories claimed, as we worship Almighty God. In a moment, Pastor Wayne will have a message entitled, "The Power of Worship." But first, here's a song called, "This Is How We Worship."
Yeah.
Here now is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, The Power of Worship.
Well, if you would take out your notes, we're going to talk about the power of worship. But before we do, I'd like to tell you a fun story. There's a story of one of our church saints passed away and went to heaven. And when he got to heaven, St. Peter greeted him, and this place was amazing. I mean, gates and mansions. But Peter said, here, let me show you around. It was someone from New Hope West here. So Peter said, you know, you're privileged. You're wonderful people. I heard your worship. You're amazing. So come, I'm going to show you around heaven. Well, as he showed this person around heaven, there were clocks everywhere. Clocks on the walls, clocks on trees, clocks. And some were moving quickly, some were moving very slowly. And he said, what's the deal with all these clocks, St. Peter? And St. Peter said, well, these are sin clocks. What? Yeah, we have a clock for every person in your church. And he said, you're kidding. He said, yeah, these are sin clocks. And we have actually one for every person in the world of all time. Whoa, he says, just like a warehouse of clocks. He said, yeah. He said, here, Billy Graham's clock. And Billy Graham's clock was not like moving at all. And they said, here's Mother Teresa's. Hers has been still for years and years. Wow. And so some were moving quickly, some were moving more slowly. So this person kept looking around. He said, could I ask you a question? He said, yeah. He said, where's Pastor Wayne's clock? And St. Peter said, he's very well known up here. And the person said, really? Yeah. We keep his clock up in the front office. We use it as a fan. Well, there's not really clocks in heaven. There's not sin clocks, but there is something very, very special that I want you to be aware of, something else, and that's worship. Worship is in heaven. Revelation chapter 4, and in different places in the book of Revelation, it talks about angels worshiping God 24/7. It's like they have shifts, and they just keep worshiping. And they actually put out the words, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and is to come. And they're just singing worship all day long, all night long. And it says, and there is the presence of God. And I thought, wow, if worship is that important, and God actually it finds his throne in the midst of angelic worship, I thought, oh my. But I thought, you know, God, you make your throne or your presence known in an atmosphere of worship and praise? Mm-hmm. Ah, so the angels knew something. But you see, God doesn't only allow angels to develop an atmosphere where his presence comes. He allows people to do the same. And it's right at the top of your notes. So if you'll take a look at your notes, right at the top of it, would you read it nice and loudly as if you were a Shakespearean actor? Ready? Go. You are enthroned on the praises of your, yeah, not only angels, but God gives us the privilege to establish an atmosphere of praise that invites his presence. I thought, that is amazing. You see, we want to talk about the power of worship. If we don't understand the divine power of worship that even threatens hell itself, if we don't understand it, then we're just going to come together and sing religious songs or watch other people, listen to other people sing religious songs. And then we wonder why God still seems so far away. If angels understand the power, the divine power, the extraordinary power of worship in the heavenlies, then as we continue building the foundations of this church, we need to work that in as one of the main ingredients in the very foundation building blocks, the power of worship. Some people, sometimes I know, we come after worship is done. I just want to listen to the sermon. No, you don't understand the power of worship. It's establishing an atmosphere in which the presence of God comes. And we need everybody there with all of their hearts to welcome the presence of the King. Otherwise, he won't be there. He'll be absent. Someone once said it this way. They said, you know, you can take half of the churches out of America and no one will ever notice that they're gone. Why? Because the Holy Spirit isn't empowering them. They're singing religious songs. So we've got to make sure that we understand worship. Yeah. So as we build the foundations of the church, we want to make sure worship is a critical part. And in fact, did you know that when God was building the foundations of creation, he decided to have his background music worship? He actually created the worlds against the backdrop of worship and praise. The story is about he and Job. Now, Job had gotten very, very sick. Satan had inflicted him so much. And one day, Job was questioning God. Sort of like, not in just like, oh, why is this happening? He is almost questioning God in a challenging way. Like, if you're so powerful, couldn't you oversee my life a little better than it's being spent right now? I am just deathly sick. And he kept querying and questioning God like that in a challenging way. And it's like God kind of headed up to here with Job. And he says this to Job. And would you read it with me? It'll come up on the board. And let's read it together. Go. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. And who set its measurements? Who stretched the line on it? On what were its bases sunk? In other words, how is it suspended in space? Where is all of the pillars, the supports for this? It's invisible, isn't it? Yeah, did you see that? When God was creating the universe and putting stars in place and planets, spinning them, and everything moving in galaxies and solar systems, he said, come on, let's worship a little bit more, please. Yes, I got a lot of work to do. Let's continue. Thank you very much. And he's actually creating the worlds against a backdrop of worship. I thought, wow, you had background music of worship while you were creating? Uh-huh. And I thought, you know, God, I looked at that and I thought, if we want you to do more creating in us, maybe we should worship more. Instead of complaining or challenging God. If you love me, if you were so all-powerful, couldn't you oversee my life a little better? Maybe we should, instead of doing that, maybe we should just get out in the forest and worship him for an hour. And maybe then and there he'll begin to do the creating that we would like him to do. You see, there is an amazing power in worship that if we don't understand, then we lose. We miss out. I'm going to tell you four things about about praise and about worship. And one of the reasons, by the way, that when we come together at New Hope West, we start with praise and thanksgiving, because the scripture says, enter his gates with praise, enter his courts with thanksgiving. So when we come into this place, we actually are doing a scriptural invitation. We are fulfilling that with praise and thanksgiving. Even our giving is out of thanksgiving for all that you've done, Lord. I just want to, in some way, say thank you in a material, visible, expressible way. It's not just in my thoughts, Lord. I really want to be a part of what you're doing in the world. And so I take some of what you've already given me, and I say, Lord, would you use this and multiply it? Because in my hands, I can't multiply it, but in yours, you can, 30, 60, 100, 1,000, a millionfold. So Lord, I put that in your hands so that you can use my little offering or my little contribution in a huge way. It's all out of thanksgiving. So even our giving is a part of our thanksgiving and praise. That's why you'll hear some people say, let's continue our worship as we give. They're actually right. But we may not understand that. We think it's just a neat platitude that they say in church. No, it really is. Because we enter his gates with praise and enter his courts with thanksgiving. So when we come, one of the very first things we do is establish an atmosphere for God's presence to come and be a part of us. Then his miracles begin. So never think that just singing or listening to religious songs is going to do it. Enter into his courts with praise. Enter into his courts with thanksgiving, and it includes us. One of the most amazing things about the Israelites, when they went through the desert in the Sinai after having left Egypt as slaves, they came through, and you can almost trace their pathway by the altars that they were making. Because whenever God would do something great, like open the Red Sea, they would get through, Pharaoh's army is devastated. They'd stop, Moses wrote a song, and they would build an altar and worship God. They go a little further. God gives them manna. They build an altar and worship God. God gives them water. They build an altar and worship God. They're always building altars. So if you would go around in that time in the desert, you can almost trace the pathway of the Israelites. They were identified as the people of God. Why? Because they're worshiping at all of these points here. They just pause and build an altar. And they usually build it with 12 stones. Do you remember why 12 stones? One for each tribe of Israel. This is Jacob. Or rather, this is Ephraim. This is Manasseh. This is Reuben. This is Gad. All of these stones represented one of the tribes of Israel. And then they would worship, do a sacrifice, move on. So if someone wanted to know where the Israelites were going, they would just trace these altars. You see, worship identifies us as the people of God. One of the reasons we left England is because we wanted to be identified as a people of God, to have freedom of worship. Now we live in a society where that is being challenged. So all the more we must redouble our efforts to say, no, we are a people of God. I am sorry. And I'm not going to let you steal my identity. Have you ever had anyone steal your credit card or your identity and use it? How many of you have had your credit card taken, stolen, used by somebody else? It is not a fun thing. And it's almost like, you're stealing my identity. You're faking it. I've had 42 imposters so far on Facebook. And they call themselves by my name, and they try to raise money for this orphanage somewhere. And you have time for a story? This is really funny. There's a couple that wrote to me from Japan, and they said, we saw you on Facebook, and we gave $1,000 to your orphanage. And I said, oh, no, that's another imposter. I said, I'm so sorry. Please watch out for that. They're faking my identity. And they said, no, we need to tell you a story. That happened a few months ago, and we gave that $1,000 because my wife and I agreed. But then after that, we split up, and problems took place. And then we were looking at our finances, and we remembered that we gave that money. And even if it wasn't to you, for some reason, God used that decision that we both made to do something for ministry that we thought God has called us together for a reason. And she said, and so our marriage came back together. So even if it was a fake, it's okay, because God used it for his glory. Isn't that great? I thought, wow. But having your identity stolen is just terrible. And what was happening was the people of Israel stopped making altars of worship. All the way from Genesis to Deuteronomy, all the way into Leviticus, Numbers, all those first five books of the Bible, they were building altars. And then they stopped. Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st, 2nd Samuel. Now into 1st and 2nd Kings, they had stopped being a people identified as worship. Their identity was stolen. They had blended in with the prophets or the people of Baal, which was a fertility god, very immoral, and Asherah, which was another immoral God. And you can see the same thing happening in our world today. It's causing the people of God to blend in to one side or another. And by the way, the devil always tries to make it a binary war where it's between two groups, Republicans or Democrats, or blacks or whites, or someone that's straight or someone that's not straight. And it's just a binary war, and it gets people split again and again and again, and until he's fractured us completely. Well, in that day, it was the prophets of Baal and the prophets of Asherah. They had gotten together on a place called Mount Carmel, and the people of Israel had just blended in. So it was like, we're with this group and we're with this group. Well, Elijah comes on the scene, and God says to Elijah, you need to bring the people back together. They have stopped worshiping me. They're worshiping other gods. They're following other things. They no longer build altars to me. They have lost their identity. So Elijah, and he's called a hairy man, you know, he's just Neanderthal. But he comes up and he challenges the prophets of Baal and the prophets of Asherah. He says, I want to meet you. We're going to have a showdown at the OK Corral. And you bring your followers with you. So There are 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asheroth come together, and they're going to go against one guy. Now, they don't know what he wants to do, whether he wants to box them or what, but they're just going to have a showdown. So all the people that follow from Israel, the ones that are the Asheroth followers and the Baal followers, all gather together. So they're mixed up. There's just a multifaceted collection of these people. There's no people of God. It's just blended into the society. And Elijah looks at them, and he says something very strong. He says, where are the people of God? Have you lost your identity? And this is what he says. Would you read it? It'll come up on the board. Read it nice and loudly. Go. Elijah came near to all the people and said, how long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him. But the people did not answer him a word. He said, how long are you going to hesitate between the two? If you think Baal is God, follow him. But if God is God, with all your heart, follow him. So the people didn't know what to do. And he looked at the altar that was there. And he must have met on Mount Carmel because they actually had an altar of worship there. And the Bible says the altar was in disrepair and disarray because they hadn't done anything. They stopped worshiping. So the stones had fallen down. And the next verse says this. So Elijah began to repair the altar that was broken down. And to me, it's almost like God is saying, I want to repair the altar of worship that is broken down in our church because they don't understand the power, the divine power of worship. It's not just singing. There is an eternal ramification that takes place when the people worship. So, and you can read here in verse 31, it says, so Elijah took how many stones? According to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob. So the stones were about as big as this speaker here. And so they're big. And it says he began to repair it. But every stone may have had the name of one of the tribes of Israel. So if you're from the tribe of Asher, you're from the tribe of Gad, or you're from the tribe of Ephraim or Manasseh or Reuben, this would be sort of your stone. And so Elijah repaired the altar, and he would pick up a stone like this. And it's just like Jones or Smith or whatever it might be. And so he'd pick up these stones. And your name may be, as it were, written on one of these because you belong to one of these tribes. That's who we are. And he'd take one of these and he'd drop it down, kaboom. And he'd look up and say, Asher! And if you were from the tribe of Asher, your heart would start to beat like crazy in your chest. He'd pick another one, bang! Reuben! Reuben! And if you're from the tribe of Reuben, your identity starts coming back to you. That's who I am. That's who I am. Bang! Gad! Bang! Benjamin! Bang! Manasseh! And he went through all 12. And all of a sudden, the people's hearts began to beat again. And he repaired the altar. He was about to do a sacrifice on it. You see, the people of the prophets of Baal and Asheroth were asked to do a sacrifice and call on their God. And their God didn't answer because their God was a non-entity. He called on the name of the Lord, and God answered with fire. And the people whose identity had been restored because of this altar had been repaired, they began crying out, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And see, what happened is in the midst of rebuilding worship, their identity was restored. And when you and I begin to worship God, it's like, this is who I am. This is who God created me to be. I come under his mantle. I come under his protection. I honor God, not anything else. I must obey God rather than men. And all of a sudden, we know who we are again. One of the very most prominent things that worship does when we worship is it restores your identity. And you start to remember again who you are and who he created you to be. And right now in America, we need to rebuild the altars of worship. Can you say amen to that? Yeah.
You've been listening to a message entitled The Power of Worship by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Thank you for listening. For those of you in Oregon, we invite you to worship each Sunday at New Hope West on our beautiful Bible College campus. Pastor Wayne will share a message that will strengthen you in your walk as you begin a brand new week. That's New Hope West in Eugene, Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, go to newhopewest.com. Until next time, God bless you and have a great day in the Lord.